Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 5. And you say, well, Pastor, aren't you speaking about Noah? Yes, I am. Well, then why are you in Daniel? Well, you'll find out in just a minute. As you know, we began a series of lessons or sermons from the flood. Brother Gary Dobson had given me a book a while back. Gary, do you remember giving me that book, As It Was in the Days of Noah? And I am using some thoughts from his book, and we are on Noah Part 2. But we'll be getting to that in just a moment. But do you have the book of Daniel, chapter 5? And if you would, let us stand together if you are able, and we'll begin reading at verse 17. If you cannot stand, there's no problem. You can remain seated. But as we read from Daniel chapter 5, beginning at verse 17, then Daniel answered and said unto the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. If you remember the story, there had been a huge party. And they had asked for the drinking vessels that had been taken from Jerusalem. And they had been taken with the captivity. And during the party, a hand began to write on the wall. And we know that Belshazzar, the king, who had made this great feast, was petrified. Well, you would be if suddenly a hand appeared and began writing on the wall. And we're going to read just in a little bit what that hand wrote, and we're going to find out that the king wanted to find out what the writing meant. And so Daniel is saying, you can keep your gifts and your rewards, but verse 17 continues, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people and nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Dear Heavenly Father, we are going to read in just a moment that they were weighed in the balances and found wanting. And Lord, I am sure that if you were to weigh us, our nation, our world, you would say once again that if weighed, we'd be found wanting. Lord, may we make a difference in today's world. May we tell the world of the peace that only you can give. And Lord, we thank you for that unspeakable gift of salvation provided by our Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. You still have Daniel 5, don't you? If you don't, turn back again to Daniel 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 22. Daniel 5 and verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified? Then was a hand set from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tinkel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tinkel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. History tells us that the Medes and Persians had surrounded the city of Babylon, and the river that flowed through it they had dammed up. And this great city with its walls thick was nothing because they came under the walls. And the armies of the Medes and Persians came in, and that night Belshazzar was killed and his nation was overcome. Verse 27, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. The only time you want to be found wanting on a scale is if you're trying to lose weight. But otherwise, you want that balance to be in the positive. If you would, the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You say, Pastor Paul, I thought you were talking about Noah. Be patient, we'll get there. Romans chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. Romans 3 and verse 9. Paul writing to the believers at Rome says in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In one case we have, they are weighed and found wanting. Here we find that they have come short due to their sinful nature. We are all sinners. May I say this, there are saved sinners and lost sinners. Only you can answer if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Now to the book of Genesis chapter 6. We'll be talking about that antediluvian civilization. Antediluvian meaning before the flood. And we'll be seeing that some things were then as they are today. Beginning at verse 1. Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Now stop reading right there. Don't continue. I know some of you just want to keep reading, but please wait for me. They were multiplying. It is the one command that God has given that we have obeyed. We do multiply. And may I say this, there were probably millions, and some have said even maybe a billion people were living at the time of the flood. We find that they were multiplying and daughters were born unto them. And verse 2 says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, stop reading again. It was believed that the sons of men were of the line of Seth, and the daughters were of the line of Cain. Cain was the one that we know that slew his brother Abel. And we believe that, and some authors have said that the sons of men were of Cain, and the sons of God were of Seth, and that they mingled. And unfortunately, in the mingling, they corrupted all of mankind. Verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Now you say, why 120 years? Because God is going to tell a man to build an ark, and it's going to take him 120 years. And he is going to build this ark for the salvation of his family because of the flood that is coming. And they have 120 years. Now, what if I were to tell you that the United States of America has 12 years before it will be destroyed? How many of you would believe me? See, that's what Noah was saying. There's going to be coming a flood. And he preached that they needed to get things right with God. And most people didn't believe him. Now, please, when I said 12 years, I was just pulling out a figure, okay, folks? Don't say, but Pastor Paul said 12 years and we're going to be gone. No, I didn't say that at all. I'm just using that as an illustration. But if you would, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And verse 11. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with what? Violence. Does that sound like our society today? Wickedness that is running rampant. Violence throughout the land. I was flabbergasted when I heard them say that some 45 schools this year have had problems with people and guns. May I say this? It's not the guns. It's the heart. It's the heart. And when our hearts are wrong, people do dumb things. I mentioned Cain slew Abel. Did he use a gun to kill his brother Abel? Most likely he used a stone. So it's not the gun. It's not the stone. It's not the knife. It's the heart. And when you have raised generation after generation of people who believe that they are nothing more than a descendant of an ape, then what would you expect? The fact of the matter is, we have told people there is no God, that we're here by chance, and live in any way you want to, because we're just going to die and be like the dog, planted in the ground. And so we have a civilization even today, much like that before the flood, wicked and violent. Some thoughts from Jeff Kinsley's book, As It Was in the Days of Noah. A flood is coming. God is going to destroy this earth, including you, unless you repent. This would be the core of Noah's message. Simple and to the point. It reminds us of a message proclaimed by another of God's prophets. Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown, found in Jonah chapter 3. The people of Nineveh repented, and their city was saved. I ask this question, what will it take for the people of Sterling Heights or of Southeast Michigan or of Michigan in whole or the Midwest or the United States of America to repent and to return to the God that our founding fathers loved and trusted. 2 Peter 2:5 says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. May I say this? A lot of churches today have forgotten to preach that we need to be right with God. It will entertain them, but they won't ask them to repent. But may I say this? If we need to repent, it would be a good thing to do it today to get things right with God. See, none listened to his preaching save his family. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." What is your thinking about the preaching of the cross? Noah's message was simple, to the point, no beating around the proverbial bush. His message was plain, straightforward, and he used an object lesson to illustrate his message's main point, the building of a very big boat. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet, or not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world." By faith. The Bible tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." He was warned of God. People are being warned even in this auditorium. We are warned that there is a coming time in which we will be judged by the God of the universe. And our nation may be judged before that time. Our world may be judged soon. The flood came, and all mankind was destroyed, saving 8 people, 4 couples. But why a flood? It's a picture of a good washing. Water, as we know, washes. But man sinned. But he was not the only one that was punished, was he? The animal kingdom was also destroyed, saving those also that came upon the ark. The wickedness and violence of mankind broke the Creator God's heart. As we read in verse 6, it grieved him at his heart. Do you realize that you can grieve God's heart? That by your actions and by your attitude and by the things that you do day by day, you can grieve the heart of God. God is not some stoic, emotionless, distant deity. He is as a father who loves us. Doesn't the book of John chapter 3 verse 16 tell us, "For God so what? Loved the world." He is bothered by the death of man. He is bothered by their sins. He has provided a way of salvation. And it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God is not like some old man waiting to yell at the neighborhood kids for making too much noise. He is not sitting somewhere in the cosmos waiting, watching, and hoping that he can punish us for some wrongdoing. We find that he is compassionate and holy. He's gracious and righteous. He's merciful and just. He's forgiving, but he's also wrathful. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. God has provided a way of salvation. And if we ignore that salvation, we will fall under the wrath of God. So many people say, "Well, God is love." Is that true? Absolutely. God is love. But is God holy? God is holy. He hates sin. He hates sin. But aren't you glad he loves the sinner? And he provides a way of salvation. Jeff Kinley writes, often upstaged by Noah, his family, the animals, and the ark itself, the main character in this ancient drama is God himself. It is God that has been hurt. It is God that sees what man has become. It is God that sees this, and he says, it grieves me, and I will destroy them. He is the principal player and director from beginning to end. Genesis 6:5 says, and God saw. He saw. Do you ever notice that little children think that if they can't see you, you can't see them? Yes. They don't understand that parents have ears. They don't always understand how you know what they did. When my dad had two younger sons, my mother would go away maybe for something and whatever it may be, and he would sneak into the chocolate chips. He'd get out the egg poachers. Do you remember that, Dad? You get out the egg poachers? And you'd get some M&Ms and put them in for Bob, the chocolate chips. Did I not make that clear? Did I say M&Ms? I meant chocolate chips. Chocolate chips. Yeah, very good. I'm glad. Thank you, honey, for correcting me. The chocolate chips. And so he would get out some for Bob and put them in the egg poacher, and he'd get out some for me and put them in the egg poacher, and he would get some out for himself and put them in the egg poacher. And mother always seemed to know, you don't want to be going to make chocolate chip cookies and find that half of them are gone. And I am positive, now I cannot prove this, and he's here and you can ask him later, but I am positive he would leave one someplace so she could find it. On the counter, on the floor, on her pillow. Because I know this, that when it came time for chocolate chips, she'd want to know she had them. But you know how often we try to sneak and say, well, God won't mind, or God won't see it. God does mind, and God does see it. And God saw their wickedness. As we read in Romans chapter 3, all of mankind is sinful. We have all within us the ability to be wicked. And we have a lot of wicked people in our world today. We have a lot of people who are going to be held accountable for their actions. Those who promote lewd TV programs and music videos, let alone the pornography that is so rampant in our society today. Those that provide the drugs that drive our young people and our adults into lives of addiction. And we could go on and on. There is a lot of wickedness in today's society. The law of sin holds us down, dictating and influencing certain things about us. It drags down our thoughts, our emotions, and our desires. Men and women are basically self-centered, and we find that if you take billions of people on this sin-drugged world, and the side effects are going to be what? Devastating. We find that depravity was on parade. Now, this was before television. And this was before radios. And this was before the internet. This was when people simply talked about life and they acted in the wrong behavior. You say, well, what were these sins that so filled the world with sin and evil? Solomon says there is nothing new under the sun. So may I say this, that the first sin was covetousness. It leads to all the other sins. Covetousness. There was the sin of immorality and lewdness. Let me say this. Someone asked me the other day, go, Pastor Paul, why don't you preach harder against homosexuality? May I say this? And I don't want anyone to doubt where I stand. I believe that homosexuality is wrong. In fact, God believed it was so wrong that he told the early Jews that they were to stone those homosexuals, the Sodomites. But I believe this also, that if a man and a woman are sexually involved and they are not married, it is just as bad as homosexuality. I believe this, that we live in a world that tries to categorize sin and puts them in lists. But as Brother Jones just said, sin is sin. And immorality is running rampant in our society today. How many TV programs are out there and they just show it out as people being immoral and it's all right. But it isn't all right. It's wrong. And there was immorality then, and there's immorality now, and God still hates it. God has a plan. He had Adam and who? Eve. He brought them together. He united them. And he believes today, even now, that it's one man and one woman for one lifetime. Now you say, well, what if the partner dies? That's a whole different story, isn't it? They can marry again. But we find there was covetousness, there was immorality, there was lewdness, there was murder. It was a violent time then, and it's a violent time now. There was disobedience. You know, there's a lot of people who have no regard for authority. They hate authority. They are disobedient to authority. There was drunkenness. I am simply amazed at the amount of alcohol consumed by our society. There was drunkenness. There was vulgarity. You know, there was a time in which men would not cuss in front of women. How many of you remember that? They would not cuss in front of a lady. Now, the women are cussing in front of the men. Vulgarity. There was the denial of divine or of a divine deity, just as there is today. Or there are lots of deities and they're all going to take you to heaven. That's a lie of Satan. There's one God. There's one Lord. We have cities like Las Vegas that are simply built on the corruption of society. Rio. And we think of Rio, and you don't usually think of good things. Think of New Orleans and Mardi Gras. We think of what? People getting away to do good things? No, to do ungodly things, to do wrong things. Given this corrupt nature, there is no higher demonic delight than to pervert God's design for his beloved humanity. God has a plan for us. And the devil says, I'm going to sidetrack you. I'm going to take you in a different direction. I'm going to bring you away from God. I'm going to give you pleasures and entertain you, and I'm going to make you happy. But the problem is, people aren't happy, are they? They're depressed. What, is there more suicides today than ever before? More people taking drugs and alcohol than ever before. Why? Because we live in an unhappy society. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Noah would invite his hearers to come into the ark. Jesus says, come unto me. In the book of Revelation, we find that the Spirit and the bride say, come. Will we come and follow after the Lord? Will we be faithful like Noah? Will we listen to the warnings? Will we provide a safe haven for our loved ones? Will we move with fear to the saving of our families? They didn't listen then. And the majority of people aren't listening today. But the truth is the truth, no matter if nobody believes it. And a lie is a lie if everybody believes it. What do you believe today? Shall we stand together? 401, Only Trust Him is our invitation song. Maybe you need to get some things right with the Lord today. Don't worry that someone's going to say, well, I wonder why they're going forward. It's none of their business. We just need to make sure that we're right with God. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move. We pray that hearts will be touched and that Thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.